Right now, as we are doing and many people are doing across the country, weather's breaking and they're expanding their garden in the form of raised beds.
Right. So we gardened in the ground for
many years.
8 years, I think. 9 years, something like that. Yeah. And then we decided last year in 2020, we decided to build 4 raised beds. And was it 4?
5.
5.
Five. 3 4x12 and 1 and 2 4x16 raised beds.
Right. And we did this because we were getting tired of building the soil. We were having compaction. We were having
weeds.
The weeds too. How could I forget the weeds? So a few different issues. And then we built a raised bed out of a pallet, and then we did some large containers.
We got some pop-up raised beds and giant grow bags from rootmaker.com.
From Rootmaker. And then this year
you can get yours, too, using Radio21 as a coupon code. You save 15% off your entire order. So there's many different options. But the weeding aspect, this year, we can walk in, top off the beds with some compost, and plant. Minimal. I mean, maybe we'll spend maybe 15 minutes weeding the beds that we currently have.
We did deal with some, what are those things called?
Thistles.
Thistles, thank you. And we did deal with some thistles, but sometimes stuff happens.
We'll talk about that right in momentarily. But let's talk about building beds. Treated or untreated wood is the question of the century. Now, we go with treated wood. And for the studies that in which we have looked at and seen and been shown, there is very little to almost no leaching of the into the soil of from the boards. Now, the boards aren't arsenic as they were in centuries past, in decades past. That stopped about 2004. It is a copper treatment. Now, true, copper is an element in which is in humans and in plants and in animals and kind of a necessary thing in order for all of us to do what we do and operate and live. So the concern is that. But the other people would much rather go untreated and treat it with a all-natural preservative such as Timber Pro coatings. They have this internal wood stabilizer in which you can it will preserve the wood from the inside out. So people will choose to go that route. But we do have from the University Extension of Oregon State, this question was addressed. Should you use wood, treated wood, or should you not? And the answer kind of was as a follow.
So basically, from what they've seen is that chemicals do leach out of the wood into the soil and could possibly be taken by the plants in very small amounts. But it isn't anything that should be significant enough to be a concern for human health. So soil has this thing called buffering capacity where it's going to basically filter out chemicals.
Bad stuff.
Bad stuff.
Now, if you put 55 gallons of Clorox bleach on the soil, then you're going to toxify the soil. But, you know, with acid rain and the minute amounts and that type of thing is what we're speaking of here.
Right. So you can use the wood treated with AQC, which is an alternative wood treatment chemical, and instead of the regular treated wood.
Well, the ACE is now is in most, if not all, treated wood because the CCA is no longer part of the deal. So you can do your own research. We have done ours, and that's why we've chosen to use the treated wood and to get the longevity out of. Now, Timber Pro Coatings, the internal wood stabilizer, would give you as much, if not longer, potentially, lifespan of the wood. So it's 6-1, what is it, 6-half, 1-dozen, the other? What is that saying? 6-1-half and dozen the other?
I think so.
Okay.
I think in Wisconsin we say a horse apiece.
Okay.
Anyway, so things you want to consider.
I mean, if we could go, we would go with red cedar, almost rot resistant, almost the best wood you can get, but that's extremely, extremely expensive
right,
too.
Right.
So we've decided, you have decided what you want your raised beds to be made out of. So we need to talk about location, size, height. Bottom, do we put hardware cloth in it or not? We'll talk about that, as well as nails or screws. So let's talk about the location.
Right. So this is something you want to consider. The sunlight, how the sun is, other plants, property lines, where you might have, maybe you have a fruit area right now and you want to put vegetables next to it, but then you have to consider that fruit tree and the shade. You also need to call Digger's hotline. I know you're not digging, quote unquote, but they're going to come on. They're going to mark any utilities, and you might find that you have a utility line that runs through the middle of your backyard, and at some point, the utility company might want to dig that up.
Or need to.
And then your raised bed, they don't care about your raised beds. So they don't care if you're growing tomatoes.
Right.
So you want to consider that. You want to consider what's in your backyard type of thing or under the soil.
Size on the raised bed can be, the rule of thumb is no wider than 4 foot, so you can easily reach from one side to the other, so you're not walking in the bed and compacting the soil, which is the purpose of the raised bed.
I have one comment on that.
Okay.
So 4 feet, yes, is good because you can reach across to the middle. But if you are short and maybe have short arms like I do, and I have a lack of height, and sometimes
you're closer to the ground, but you can't reach as far.
I can't reach as far. So if you're short and maybe you don't want to reach as far, you want to like kind of stay closer to the side, you could do 3 feet.
Well, you can do three feet. I don't know where the common thought is, you know, the reach 2 foot on each side. Also, lumber comes in divisions of four. You get an 8 foot, you can cut it in half, you've got two end caps.
Think about your moving abilities, height, things like that.
I've seen 3 foot beds, and there's nothing wrong with them. It's just what is going to be best for you and the distance. If you're doing multiple beds, you want to have a walk path. 2 foot's okay, but if you're going to be, you know, lawnmowers and wheelbarrows and lots of tools through, 3 foot should be your minimum width.
That's another thing is that if you get down on the ground and you need a little bit of space to get up or something, or you use like a kneeling stool, you might want that 3 feet or 4 feet even if you have the space.
Right. So let's talk about the height. Height can be a minimum. Some people will say 8 inches is the minimum amount. I would say you need to go at least 10. 12 is perfect. Anything over that is overkill. The reason why people would make a bed that's 18 or 24 or 30 inches high is so they don't have to bend over. They don't have to get on their knees to squat and work the bed. They may have mobility issues, or they just don't want to have the potential problems that might develop down the road by consistently bending over and working in a raised bed. You have it 30 inches high. That's almost waist high for some people, where you can just bend over and work the bed and do your own thing. Even have a ledge on the side of the bed where you can set and kind of twist a little bit and work the bed. So the height minimum would be 8. 10 is preferred. 12 is dead on what you would be. Also, it depends on the amount of finances you have with the lumber in which you're purchasing. And and your ability in which to construct these things.
One thing to note here is next on our list is what goes on the bottom. And that means like you could put cardboard to kind of be a weed blocker. You could put hardware cloth.
Definitely put cardboard.
Yeah, you want to put cardboard. And then you could put hardware cloth. If you have issues with moles or voles or any sort of little rodent that's going to burrow, we would highly recommend putting hardware cloth.
With the hardware cloth. Now, the cardboard, people say, the grass will, if you have 12 inches or 10 inches of soil and you have it, you're starting a garden on the lawn, just cover it with the soil and the grass will suffocate. Well, yes, true. The grass may suffocate, but you've got thistles, you've got wire grass, you've got lamb's quarters, you've got everything else under the sun that's potentially and will, and we have had this, the
did
thistle.
You, I wanted to put cardboard down, and did you want to?
No, because I didn't think it was going to be necessary, but we've learned that this next run, what we're going to do is put cardboard down. The cardboard will biodegrade in the first season. What that cardboard is doing is stressing and preventing the thistles or the grass or anything that's aggressive, it kind of puts a barrier and keeps it from penetrating up through. Now, we solved the problem by using an organic weed killer and stressing the thistles out until they stop coming up. We solved that problem, but it would have been better if we didn't have to have that problem. And then we have to talk about fasteners. Now, obviously, we use nails. 4-inch ring shank or pole barn nails is the best. That's what they're called. We always call them ring shank nails. 4-inch is good. That would be what we'd recommend. Screws are great, but however, not everybody has the availability of having a screw gun or extension cords and all that, whatever you may use. Nails, hammers, everybody's got those, can build a bed wherever they're at very easily. And we've got some instructional videos on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website that walks you through such. So that being said, if you're building raised beds, you can do it as we have done, or if you want to go to rootmaker.com, they've got some very nice raised bed, pop-up raised beds in which you can purchase and use coupon code RADIO21 to save 15% on your total order. Well, you may be all gunned ho for vegetables and growing this year, but some of you like hamburgers and pork chops and steaks, and you do the processing yourself, or you want a good seasoning, Walton's can take care of all of that for you.
Yeah, Walton's has everything that you need but the meat. So we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But the meat, at Walton's.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, or any other meat product your way to your high standard. You want to make snack sticks that people will actually like. Walton's created something called MeatGistics.com, an informational website, to help you make the best finished product. We've used a lot of their seasonings for burgers, even vegetables. You have one that you like to put on kind of everything.
Right.
So all sorts of great stuff. Just go to waltonsinc.com or meatgistics.com and to find out more. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.